Everybody, this is Pam, and you're listening to another great episode of the podcast, Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which you can find on the blog, Make Room for the Stuttering, at stutterrockstar.com, and it's also freely available wherever you get your favorite podcast from. Today, as always, I have the opportunity and great pleasure of talking with yet another amazing woman who's going to share parts of her story. So I'd like to say hello to Lexi. Hey, how are you today? Great to have you on the show.
Good. I am great. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. So to get us started formally, could you introduce yourself? Tell us who you are, where you're from, and what keeps you busy?
My name is Lexi Hewitt. I am the national stuttering association chapter leader for the Exton PA branch. I am also a recent graduate of Westchester University, where I just earned my master's degree in school counseling. So, that has definitely kept me busy for the past 2 years. And also just trying to get my chapter started. I think that's really it.
Well, that's certainly enough to keep one busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you're a NSA chapter leader. What brought you to the NSA, and what got you interested in starting a chapter?
Yeah, if I go way back, growing up, so I have a stutter, and then my brother also stutters.
Oh.
I don't know if it's a brother sister thing or a whatever, but it hadn't really emotionally affected him as it had affected me. So growing up, I just always felt kind of alone, and that no one really understood what it was going through having a stutter. I had done the Disney College program. So I had lived at Disney World for basically 4 months.
Oh, wow.
Being there, because I hadn't gone away to a college, because I had just stayed at community college, and then I transferred to one a campus close to home. That had been my first time kind of on my own. And it was a lot of identity, emotional processing during that time, while also experiencing Disney. One day, I was having a really hard day with stuttering, and I think I was dealing with a guest who wasn't the nicest about it. And then I had looked up stuttering things on Google, NSA came up. And then I had seen that there had been a conference that year. I'm in Fort Lauderdale. So I had impulsively signed up to do a workshop without ever really knowing the organization. I was just I have an idea. I'm gonna just throw it out there, see if it sticks. And then it stuck. So then me and my mom went to the conference together, and I loved it, and then I fell into the Stamley.
So you and your mom went to the conference together, your first conference, and you did a workshop. Oh my goodness, what was the workshop about?
It had been a kids workshop,
Okay.
like on like using like theater tools and like games to like work with stuttering.
How fun. How fun is that? And did your mom enjoy the experience as well?
Yes, cause she had like known about the like stuttering like experience, like having like two kids that like stutter and then like going through like our like IEP stuff and everything. But it had just like really like immersed her in the world. And I think she was really like appreciative of it.
Now you said that it like that your brother stutters or stuttered, and that it didn't really seem to like affect him as much as it did you. Does he still stutter, or did he?
Cause like, cause like, like he like stammers and then like does a lot of kind of like physical like tics like with it too. So
Has he attended a conference?
he has not.
Oh, well, you got to get him. You got to push
I
him to
know.
attend
I
one,
know.
right?
It is a slow but sure process happening.
Yes. So how did how did the chapter come into play? So you went to the conference, had an amazing time, and then you decided just you were gonna start up a chapter. How did that evolve?
After that conference, I'd like 'cause that was right before COVID, so so like throughout COVID to like 2023, I had done a lot of like volunteer work with the like NSA. Sorry, my like dog is whining in the background. So I had done like a lot of like volunteer work previously because I was like a mentor and I was like an intern. And then like kind of like creating a chapter kind of felt like the like next step in my like stuttering advocacy like passion that I have. And like then I because I had grown up in like Hatfield, like which is in like Montgomery County of like Pennsylvania. And then like I had seen that the like closest chapter to me is like Philly, which is like an hour away. And then there are like no stuttering chapters in Montgomery County, Bucks County, Chester County, Delaware County, and like those are all like 45 minutes from like me. And like there's just not like a community in the like southeastern Pennsylvania like area. And so I wanted to be like, hey, like I'll do it. I'll get it started. So that's what I did.
Good for you. Good for you. Is the chapter still running? I mean, are you guys meeting in person now? Or are you still virtual or?
So we are in person. So I had wanted to kind of like split my chapter into like family programs and adults. And the like adults like part of it hasn't really like grown yet. But I've had like a lot of like success so far with my family chapter.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And then like later like tonight actually like we're having a We're having a like ice cream social for like national like stuttering like awareness week. So like that's like a fun little thing that like I like want to do with the community.
Yeah. How does it make you feel to see parents and kids at your family chapter? Like, that must bring up some like real feelings, right?
Yeah, cause it's just like comforting to like know that like here's a parent that like cares enough to like come and like learn and like be immersed in this community. And it's also just very heart like warming too, because like my parents have like always been like supportive. And then like when they come to my like meetings and then like adding commentary, I am just like an emotional mess because I'm like, ah, so much.
Yeah, it brings up all the feelings, right? Yeah. Now, did you and or your brother, did you guys attend to participate in speech therapy yourselves as kids?
Yes. So, we had started speech therapy at the like early intervention level, because both of us were like born like premature.
Oh.
I had been born like 1 pound, which is my like fun
Wow.
fact about me.
Okay.
Yeah, because
Wow.
I was like supposed to be born in September and I was born in June, so very long
Okay.
time for me to be impatient and just
Just
go.
go, get out of
Yeah.
there. Wow.
But yeah,
Okay.
so like and then like all throughout my like K-12 schooling, I had speech therapy, and same with Jared, but none of us have like entered adult speech therapy.
Yeah. Do you think it helped?
Like, and it had been like nice to like because because like I would like always like try and like have a bond with my like speech therapist like who I had been working with. So it like was like nice to just feel comfortable to like stammer in that space and like practice and like talk about things that I like loved, you know.
Yeah. I've talked to many people, women who stutter that, didn't particularly care for speech therapy because it meant being pulled from the classroom, so like people knew what they were being pulled out of class for, and people didn't like being like singled out, and like everybody knew what you were being called out for, and so I think that was like a tricky balancing act for, some people. I did not participate in speech therapy as a kid because my father wouldn't allow it. He viewed participation in therapy as like a poor reflection on his image as a parent, which at the time I, didn't really understand that or care about that. But years later, I learned how guilty my mother felt about not having stood up to him and, given me some support, because at least if I'd had somebody to talk to, about stuttering because in my family it was taboo. We did not talk about it at all, and so therefore I didn't know what to do when I was being teased or harassed, you know. So I did try speech therapy for a very short time as an adult, and it didn't stick because it felt like they were trying to just fix me. And at the point in my early 40s, I didn't need to be fixed. I just needed somebody to tell me, it's okay. It's okay to stutter, you know? So people's experiences are just like all over the place. And it's refreshing to hear from a young woman like yourself who has had many different experiences, but all in all seems really positive, you know, about your experiences. And, you know, you're going to go on to be a counselor in elementary school and you stutter and you're going to let people see that it's okay. I think, right? Because you're not going to hide it, right?
Like, has like on my lanyard that I wear, like I had gotten this like badge from like Etsy, that says like please wait. Like I have a stutter, so it's like just like a nice kind of like self, like, like a disclosure thing to just like have it there.
Yeah. I
So,
like that.
yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah. It's not always easy to advertise stuttering. Like I have a couple of NSA t-shirts and stuff like that, but I'm older now and I don't always feel comfortable wearing those things. You know, I think if I was, you know, a younger person, I might feel more comfortable doing that, but I post my podcasts and, you know, stuff like that. So, like, you know, people know I stutter, but I just don't advertise it in the way I used to. I think you're going to make a really big difference, being able to work with elementary school kids and perhaps by you sharing something so personal about yourself, stuttering, talking about stuttering and stuttering, you'll invite kids to feel safe enough to talk about their stuff, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, because everybody has something, you know, and when kids
Oh,
feel
definitely.
like adults are being vulnerable, then they feel safe enough to do so as well.
100%. Cause, like being a like person who like stutters, like is kind of why I like wanted to become like a school counselor. Like just because like I feel like growing up like in like elementary school, like I had been like bullied for it, and I just like don't want anyone to feel that way, and I want my like counseling office and like future like room to be like a like safe space for like kids, but like if they need to just like cry or like tell me like really good news and like they just want to tell somebody, and like I just like want to be like that sounding board for that person. Like, and I think like stuttering, like really like reinforces my like active like listening skills and like my like empathy and like a unconditional like positive like a regard, because I'm just like listening and I'm just here to be a like a sounding board for the person and just like let them experience what they want to experience.
Yeah. And those are such crucial characteristics for a school counselor to have. I mean, there's like nothing worse to, to approach a school counselor who feels and looks closed off, or whose door is always closed, like you want to send that vibe that you're open and you're receiving, and because whatever vibe you send, the kids are gonna pick that up immediately. So, right? Wow. Are you going to the NSA conference this year?
I am not.
Oh,
I cannot
why?
go. I know, 'cause I have a summer job lined up, and I have those and I'm taking like summer classes for my like a certification that I want added on, so
Oh, what
I'm
kind of
too busy
certification?
this summer. So I want to add like getting my like licensed professional like counselor cert,
Oh.
'cause I like actually like wanna like focus on like counseling for like people who stutter. So
Oh,
yeah.
wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I hope you find some good mentors in that area. I mean, there are certainly lots of mentors, people who stutter that are in like PhD positions. I want to say there's somebody at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, Joe Donaher. Do you know him? Yes.
So actually, when I had been in elementary school, my mom had like me and my a brother work with him.
Oh, wow.
And then like when I had read John Hendrickson's memoir, and like then he like talks about like him and then like his experience doing like speech therapy with Joe, I was like, whoa, like wait, like I just like re like remembered that entire like experience. And then I had like reached out, and then he works with the Nolan like Stuttering Foundation. And then I had been like working with them from a chapter standpoint. So like my like a relationship with like Joe just like kind of became like full circle, and it's just like
Oh,
crazy.
that is amazing. And what a coincidence. I bring up the name and then all of a sudden you
Right? I
might.
know.
Wow. That is so cool. That is so cool. And wow, because there's certainly enough PhDs out there that stutter that, will be able to help you if you so choose. And the question needs to be asked, will a PhD ever appear in your future?
I
PhD
don't
counseling or
I don't think so. I mean, like my mom recently graduated
Oh.
with her doctorate in a nursing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations to her.
Seriously. And then like everyone's like, you are like gonna do the same thing, you're gonna like following her like footsteps, and I'm like, maybe, but also that's a lot more schooling, and I feel like I want to do stuff that isn't school and put my time into that. But I mean, like, never say never, because
Never
like
say never.
like I would like maybe, I guess we'll put it out there in the universe, like I guess like teach like future like school counselors, and I need my doctorate for that. So that is an idea, but it's not my main focus point.
Right. But maybe at some point far off in the future, you might find yourself teaching future SLPs about the counseling aspect,
Ooh,
which is so critical, right? Because,
that is
like,
an idea.
SLPs need that counseling piece because it's not just fluency targets, or it's not just breathing. It's not just about fixing speech. It's all that other stuff, right? The
Yes.
feelings and the shame. And so that could be something that you might think about, a few years down the line, because that I think is as important, maybe if more important than, breathing, or eating sunset and stuff, So having a good, strong counseling background, it may suit many purposes.
It might, we'll see.
Yeah, the road ahead for you looks broad. Yes. Kind of in wind down mode. What advice would you offer to a young woman in her teens, maybe, or late teens, who is just starting out on her journey with perhaps accepting stuttering or trying to figure out how she's going to move forward?
Like I think maybe like don't be afraid to like take challenges and like don't like hold yourself back because like like a lot of people who stutter and especially like like women who stutter like there's like such like a negative self-talk ingrained and I feel like like I feel like yes, I get nervous, when I have to go through the Dunkin' like drive through and then like have to like verbally say my like order, but I still do it, and I think just like making room for like all of the feelings that come up with like being a woman who stutters is just like you kind of just have to just like hold all of the like puzzle pieces and just hope it makes sense.
Oh wow. That's a great way to end a great conversation, because we forget the feelings can be enormous, and making space for those feelings is, really important. You just like sum that up so well.
I
Lexi,
try.
thank you so much for being a guest on today's show and, being so honest and open and not caring with some on the spot questions. So I really appreciate it. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciated this time together.
Yeah, me too. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.
Na na na. No, no.